This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, bringing a new cat into your family, the latest from a pet fashionista, and connecting with your pets beyond the usual ways. That's us on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian Greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Email us at doggydivashow@aol.com. That's doggydivashow@aol.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hey everyone, Michelle Fern here. I have the perfect gift for Mother's Day. You know, I can't visit my mother-in-law as much as I'd like to, and that's why I love the Skylight Frame. It's a touchscreen photo frame that you can email photos to, and they appear in seconds, so my mother-in-law can see the pictures right away. And I have a great savings for you. Just go to skylightframe.com/pet and you'll save $10. That's right, skylightframe.com/pet, P-E-T, and you'll save $10. And get ready to receive sheer happiness thank yous from your recipient because they will love this.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. I'm here with Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting, and with our pet tip of the week on something probably very important because so many of us have them and want to bring some into our house. So what's the best tips for bringing home a new cat?
Yeah, so a little bit of research goes a long way, you know, finding a rescue in your area, of course. Recommendations by your veterinarian is wonderful. If you can adopt, always adopt. There's so many pets out there that need a great home. Also, if you've never had a cat before, I always tell people, go to the rescue once or twice. Just go in and volunteer to be a cat cuddler. You know, go in for an hour and play with the cats they have. Because one, if you're looking for a cat, it'll give you a good idea on which one is more personable, which one comes to you, things of that nature. But two, it'll let you know if you have any allergies or not. Because if you've never had cats before, unfortunately, we hear that a lot. Oh, you know, it's really affecting my allergies, or, you know, my daughter has allergies. So if you've never owned a cat before, I always recommend just, you know, going as a family just one day and, you know, do kitty cuddling for the hour and make sure that, you know, you are okay, before you make the commitment of, you know, adopting a, you know, forever pet. The other thing is, you know, making sure that your pet has been spay and neutered, getting the background history on that pet whenever you do adopt it. You know, we'll have clients come in on a regular basis that, you know, my friend had a litter of kittens and, you know, they were so cute. I took one. Wonderful. They gave, you know, a kitten a home. But a lot of times, you know, has the kitten had any vaccines? Has it had this? Well, I'm not sure. So always ask. And, you know, if they did, great. If they didn't, that's fine. You know, they'll get it taken care of. It's just knowing what kind of history, you know, the pet has had. That way you're not repeating things that you don't have to, or giving something, you know, that, you know, has already been done. Another thing is, you know, investing in a good quality litter, your litter box, your food. You know, you, same as with people, you are what you eat. So getting them a good, stable food, you know, is definitely part of, you know, the longevity of, and the health of that cat. Making sure if the cat's under a year of age, you start out with a kitten. Kittens up to a year of age need a lot more vitamins and more nutrition than a cat that's 1 to 6 or even 6 and up. The different stages in your life, you know, you're going to require more nutrition. So making sure that, you know, if it's a kitten under a year of age, you go with a kitten food. If the animal's from 1 to 6, go with an adult. But if they're 7 or above, then transition to a senior. And, you know, we say a senior diet, but I mean, cats generally, you know, 16 to 18 year life expectancy. So even if you go to a shelter and you have a 7-year-old cat, don't get alarmed, you know, at the fact that you're feeding a senior diet, because it, theoretically, that's less than half of its lifetime. It's just that at that age of that cat, the activity level's not as much. They don't need as many calories going in. And if you can lower back that protein just a little bit at that age, it does, you know, less digestion and stuff and less work through the kidney and the liver. So it maintains that health, you know, and longevity a little longer. Making sure that you have toys, appropriate toys for especially a kitten. Keeping a kitten occupied is huge. That way they don't occupy themselves with other things that they shouldn't have. I had a kitten that was obsessed with hair ties. I had to get on my daughter all the time because my daughter's really big into, you know, especially with gymnastics. She's got scrunchies and elastic bands and bobby pins everywhere. So I had to really get on her case. We had to buy, you know, covered things for the bathroom because she'd have these baskets that had all of her hair ties in them, and the cat would constantly steal them, and we would find them in water dishes, or God forbid she left a toilet seat up, we would find like 10 hair ties in the toilet when you came home. He just had an obsession with hair ties, and he would pick them up and put them in any water source he could find. So, but elastics can be a real hazard when ingested. So we went out and got containers that had the lids on them so that way he couldn't get into them and steal her hair ties anymore. But things of that nature, like you find if an animal gets bored, they're going to make their own amusement. So, like I said, for kittens especially, you know, lots of toys, things for them to play with, an appropriate scratching outlet, a scratching post, different scratching pads. So that way, you know, the cat can, you know, appropriately scratch in areas that it should instead of areas that we don't want it to. Learning how to trim their nails, things of that nature is always good when you go into the veterinarian, ask them to show you. Cats are fairly easy to see where you should clip. It's just getting them used to that. If you have somebody at home that can help you hold on to them, you can kind of, you know, wrap a blanket or a towel around them, make them like a little kitty burrito and do one little paw at a time. But getting them used to that habit at a young age if possible is, you know, is huge. It'll cut back the inappropriate, you know, scratching things, as well as, you know, getting them used to having that done without frustration or fear. And nobody, you know, likes wrestling a kitty to do their nails. Treats, if you're going to do catnip, things like that nature. And I've seen some amazing cats come in that they train to walk on a leash and do this and that. And there are some amazing things out there. You know, cats are incredibly intelligent. So if you have the time and, you know, that's your pet, then by all means, you know, I think it's wonderful to, you know, socialize, you know, the cat as much as possible and, you know, get it used to doing things. Cause again, the time you put in when you first get an animal is going to be rewarded throughout the lifetime of the pet. You know, the better and more acclimated that pet becomes when they first come home is going to show in, you know, its daily routine throughout its whole life.
And it's really interesting. You brought up the scrunchies, and my friend who adopted a cat about a year ago, and she said she'd come home from work and she'd say her scrunchies were always in the cat bowl, no matter what. Or she had like a glass of water in the sink. Always. She goes, how are my scrunchies ending up? And she saw one day that the little kitty was taking her scrunchie and putting it right in his bowl. So there must be something to that. But that's a whole other segment we got to do on scrunchies in cat water bowls.
It's the funniest thing. It really is. And we'll catch him occasionally and he'll be walking through the house with it in his mouth and he'll look at you. And then the second you walk away, it's in a water dish.
That's so funny. Well, thank you very much. And I hope everyone got some great advice on adopting a new cat and bringing it home. These are great ideas. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Hello, everyone. Susan Maria Miss Olive here to announce the release of the second book in the Doggy Diva Diaries series, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Friends, a story about Miss Olive's encounters with bullying at a dog park and how she learns a life lesson. Please check out the original award-winning book, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home, which is a story about adoption and rescue. Both books are available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And please visit thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, the latest from pet fashionista Lauren Darr. Stay tuned.
I have two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DINOVITE.com.
Dynavite is nutrition. Probably 2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements, and today 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a Dynavite dog, and he has zero issues today. He won't eat his food without Dynavite. When I get out the Dynavite, my dogs actually salivate, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Lauren Darr is an award-winning and best-selling author, a true pet fashionista, founder of the Pet Fashion Guild, a marketing guru, and a huge pug lover. Lauren has been named Power Woman by Phytos of Reality blog and was a finalist in the Pet Industry Woman of the Year, and Pet Age named her a Woman of Influence. We are so happy to welcome back Miss Olive's favorite go-to fashionista and passionate pug mom, Lauren Darr. Welcome back, Lauren.
Thanks for having me. I always enjoy being on your show.
Oh, we love having you. Now, first, I want to congratulate you on being a finalist in the Dog Writers of America Award for your dog breed's Pet Fashion Illustration Encyclopedia.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes, congratulations.
It's always tough, as you know, it's always tough competition in that the awards. So to even be nominated is an honor.
I know. That's so wonderful. And I love those books. And we'll get to that in a second because I wanted you to tell listeners about them. But for those listeners who may not be familiar with you and, you know, you have such an accomplished background in the pet industry and also in the marketing world, if you could just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I published through my own publishing imprint called Left Paw Press. Published probably too many books for me to count at this point, but generally about pets or dogs. And I have always had a passion for pet fashion because, like you and I have talked before, I was the weird kid on the block that used to dress up my little pug Tootie, and instead of dolls. And
that's why we get along so well.
Exactly. So she was the spark and the inspiration for founding the Fashion Guild many, many decades later. And the rest is history, as they say.
Well, and I just talked a little bit about the award that you were a finalist for, and it was for your books, The Dog Breeds Pet Fashion Illustration Encyclopedia. Could you just tell the listeners about that? Because it was so ingenious the way you did it and laid it out. It's a series, and the way each breed is like covered in different books. I mean, it was a wonderful, wonderful. And then you had the matching coloring books, which of course, you know, I love your coloring books. So if you could just tell the listeners a little bit about that.
Oh, absolutely. The Pet Fashion Illustration Encyclopedia books, it's broken down into the 7 breed groups. And my hope with that was to give specific breed information on each of the different breeds. There's around 200 in the whole set, on how to design for a specific breed. And so it has things like their shedding and how much they shed, because some fabrics you need to think about that when you're designing some of the sizes. Do they have a broader chest? And it includes also the illustrations, which is big part of the book that I absolutely love, because I love the illustrator that we have. She's a fashion illustrator, and she did an excellent job, Florina. And so they can also practice, illustrating on that specific breed also. And so that it's handy. The rating scales are in there for size and paw size and coat thickness and shedding and all kinds of information just packed into one little package, which is a book.
And I think I should let listeners know, because you are a tremendous go-to person in the pet fashion industry, that you are, actually, I think you were one of the first graduates at FIT in the city, in New York City, graduating with a certificate, a fashion certificate for pets.
Yes. I went through that. I commuted from Chicago to New York City.
I used to only have to commute from Long Island to New York City, and it was stressful.
At one time, I had to get telecommute because Mother Nature wasn't being too kind at the time. It took me a few years to finally get through that certification process, but I did get that certification from FIT in New York.
Well, and that is all the more reason. I mean, you walk the walk and talk the talk. I mean, you have the background, the education, and also you share such tremendous information with people such as myself in the industry, and especially people who are looking to get into the industry, because the pet fashion industry is booming. Boom, 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 booming.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Speaking of a business, a pet business, one of the things that I love, and every year I get it, and I kind of build my year, and Chuck, you can look, I have all these stickies, and I have all these books. I have the whole thing marked up for the year already, and we're only in, the third, fourth month of the year. But it is my go-to resource, and of course, Miss Olive picked it as one of her favorite things. So it is the Pet Marketing, Pet Business Marketing Almanac, and I use it because I find out events that are going on. I use it for all the pet holidays because we put them in Olive's Facebook and on the website. So, and plus there's so many marketing tips. There's different, there's just so much. Can you just tell the listeners? Because I think anyone who is in the business, looking to get in the business, or even just if you're a pet lover and you're looking to find out what's going on in the pet world or trends, you need to get this book. I mean, and I'm telling you this because this is volume 7, I think, and I've had every single one of them. So, and I swear by them.
Oh, absolutely. The Pet Business Marketing Almanac, and we produce it, as you know, every year. And Ellen has actually started her part already for the 2021 version.
I love that. The pet astrology. I love it.
Yes, that's one of my favorite parts in it. And I think that's one of the sections that people go to first, is to read what her forecast is for the following year and the following month, since it breaks it down by the entire year and then by month. But it includes things like the pet holidays and food holidays, and we added in health and / medical holidays. they're broken down by week, month, and by date. So even if you aren't specifically in the pet industry, it's a resource that can be used to plan out social media posts, because sometimes we sit and we think, oh, you know, what am I going to talk about today? Or, you know, what's creative? And you can say, oh, this is a quirky holiday that it is. Let me post something about that. But it also includes pet industry organizations and trade shows and events, so that someone can kind of plan out their year. And it was really put together to help from a marketing perspective.
Well, and I think that the way, and you have a tremendous marketing background. I mean, you have like an award-winning marketing background in just normal marketing, like human business marketing, but to apply that to the pet industry, I mean, you took the best of both worlds, all your knowledge about the pet industry and what you knew about marketing, and you put it together. And I mean, you have, you know, plus you have the Pet Fashion Guild. You have a lot that are resources for people who are in the industry, or people who, as I said, looking to get in the industry, or just if you're a pet lover and you just want to find things out, whether it be about pet holidays or if you do decide you're going to do a little thing with your dogs. I mean, how to do more social media, be a little bit more fluent in that. I mean, you kind of lay it out all in here. So it's, I always call it my go-to resource tool that I use every year. I get at the beginning of every year, and my pages and the book's already curled, so year. But speaking of new things that you have, one of the things I saw and I'm gonna get are those inspirational bookmarks. Can you tell me about those and the inspiration for that? They're so cute.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of came, as you know, a lot of things come from inspiration with me just sitting and talking with Zachary. he's actually kind of a cool kid in addition to being a race car driver.
But, he is a race car driver. I told you, he better remember me in the Indy 500 when he's famous.
But he gave us his speech for a championship last year, and we were talking about what can we focus on in the next year and charity-wise, and he'd like to really support reading programs. We give out goodie bags when we go to the racetrack, and we had some cards and things like that in the goodie bags, and we were like, what can we do that's actually useful and helpful to people, and maybe something that would be inspirational? And so we had the idea of the bookmarks, and the one that that's the racing bookmark, he is saying never, ever, ever, ever give up. And he actually said that at the end of his championship speech, because there were plenty of ups and downs to win three championships last year. So, and so I was like, oh, that would be a great idea to send out to people. And his hero cards, we get a lot of requests for those each month on his website. And I thought this would be a great way to inspire people and give them something useful, and let's have our graphic designer do them so they look really neat. And that's kind of how it germinated.
One of the things I love is you have my favorite book of yours. You know, I love all your books, but the one that you have, it's the little cover for Lipstick on a Pug. And it says, I think it's Life is Better with a Pug, but it's that cute little cover from the book, which I absolutely adore. And what I wanted to let everyone know is that you are also an award-winning children's book author, best-selling children's book author. And, of course, the book I'm talking about won the Writers Association of America's Medallion winner for Best Children's Book in 2015, which is Lipstick on a Pug. Can you just tell us a little bit about that? Because I always love the story, because this is, though you and I live nowhere close to each other in the United States, we were kindred sisters living the same lives because we're doing the same things.
Well, like I talked about earlier, it's really my story of getting into pet fashion. You know, when pet fashion wasn't cool and dressing your dogs wasn't cool, and we didn't necessarily use a lot of terms like rescue. Tootie was a dog that a breeder no longer had a use for, frankly, and we ended up with her. And so it goes through the story of how we got Tootie and how I started dressing her and putting my grandmother's clippy earrings on her and taking my grandmother's lipstick, putting that on her. And she became, you know, one of the first fashionistas in the pet world.
And she wore it well. Can you tell us what we can look forward to in any upcoming books?
Sure. I am working on the dog fitting guide. And it will be a guide that has the sizes, like the back length and the girth and things like that. It's a much more tedious book for the pet fashion world. And behind the scenes, I'm working on doing a cat illustration book, and those won't come out until like 2021-ish. And then the same kind of fitting guide for cats. So those won't be for another year. But this year, as far as pug books go, The Pug and the Hare is one of them. And I'll be writing about the pug Zacchaeus and his first car ride and how much he enjoyed that.
Oh, how cute. I love that. And you know, your children's books are also cute, and they're very uplifting, and you have all your Dolla books. As you know, here we are, both adult women, and we love to dress up our dogs, and we love, I say your coloring books are like therapy for me. I told you how my husband went and bought me special pencils so I could color with them. I grab my cup of tea, I put the dogs around me, and I just sit there. It's like my Zen moment. And you have those special little mantras on the pages too, which sort of like, so I love those books. So, and now, where can the listeners go to learn more about you? I mean, you have such an accomplished and wonderful background, and the Pet Fashion Guild and all of the amazing books that you have.
Sure. If people are interested in the book and getting those bookmarks that we send out for free, they can go to leftpawpress.com. But if they're interested in the Pet Fashion Guild and the educational tools like the books that we have there, it's petfashionguild.com.
Thanks. That's perfect. Now, Lauren, before we go, is there anything that you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I just want to say thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate everything you've done. I appreciate Olive picking the almanac as one of her favorite things, and also want to wish her a very, very happy birthday.
Thank you. Oh, she just perked her head up. See? Say thank you, Aunt Lauren. Well, Lauren, I have to thank you for being our guest, and it's so wonderful. Miss Olive and I love having you on the show with us. We always have so much fun, and I want to thank you for all you do, not only for pet lovers, but what you do for the pet industry. You're amazing. You're a true force. Amazing guru, and I have to thank you very much. And again, thanks for being our guest. It was so great to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, we'll be back in just a minute. Coming up, beyond the obvious, some thoughtful ways to experience the connection with your pets. Stay tuned.
Hey everyone, Michelle Fern here. You know how they say you are what you eat? Well, guess what? Same is true for your fur babe. I have a grandpa dog, as I call him. Mr. Z's now 14. And over the years, you know, he's had his issues, but lately he's had a lot of allergies. And I've recently put him on a Solid Gold diet, and I have noticed a major difference. And right now, Solid Gold is offering an amazing offer to all of our listeners. Yep, by visiting solidgoldpet.com/petlife for 30% off your first order. Go ahead and take advantage of this great offer.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Have you ever wondered why all of the dogs or cats or other domestic animals in the world, a certain one, a certain breed, or a certain animal attracts you? Have you ever felt that an animal found you as much as you found them? Or have you noticed how your animal companion knows when you are sad, exhibit happiness, when they manifest that illness with you? To share valuable insights on this and more is Tammy Billup, a holistic healer, creative of the animal-human tandem healing, and a certified interface therapist, and the author of the amazing Animal Soul Contract, Sacred Agreements, and Share for Shared Evolution. And Tammy, we are so honored to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So What have you observed during all of your work with energy healing sessions when you've connected to animal souls in their last days and moments? Like, who greets them over on the other side? I think that's something as a pet parent, and I know that we all go through this, and it's so beautifully explained and recognized and acknowledged in your book. But sometimes I think pet parents, such as myself, we kind of wonder. So could you please explain some of that?
Yes, I mean, it's a time that we all fear coming, right? You know, because we've all been down that road, and there's not a worse day in the world than when we lose our beloved and cherished animal companion. And so when I began doing sessions and noticing certain things, sometimes I'd be connected to an animal energetically, and they'd actually pass of their own avail because it opened up the frequencies and they were able to release more easily. And so I started taking notes of the consistencies of what I've seen around animals that are in their final month days, you know, moments, and actually during the time that they transition back to the light. And I thought it might bring comfort for people to understand what actually happens or what I see consistently so they can lean into that and it can be a more peaceful time. So the first thing that people might feel better about knowing is that there is this very high vibrational angelic boundary of light, you know, because fearful times can bring in more lower vibrations. And so just know that when you are going through, you know, when your animal is close to transitioning and going through a difficult time and in the middle of those moments, you are surrounded with this very high frequency of light that is protecting this very sacred process. And then the second thing is that there's at the top of our head, there are these energy vortexes down through our energy body. And at the top of our head is called the crown chakra. And that's actually where the soul releases from the body. And so I'll see that area of the energy body getting fine-tuned and opening up and cleansed, you know, because there's actually a feeling when they leave the body. It feels like kind of a light coming down and there's this magnet coming up. It's so interesting and it's so beautiful to witness, to be in that energy. There's also these cords, these energetic cords, heart cords that we have with our animals, and sometimes I'll see that kind of being cleansed. And the most surprising thing I began seeing when I would happen to be connected to an animal when they released from their body is that we have this part of our soul that's called the higher self. And it's kind of like the aspect of ourselves that's on the other side. And I began seeing, this is so interesting, Sue, it's like I began seeing that the person's higher self was the one that greeted the animal. How cool is that? You know, anyone that you call in, that you ask to be there, I've said, oh, there was a guy that looked like this and this and this, and they go, oh, that's Uncle, you know, so-and-so. I asked them to be there. It's like any time I've ever described someone and the person said, I called that person in. So just know that whoever you are asking to greet your animal will be there.
And you know what I want to ask, Tammy? What is a soul contract and how many types of soul contracts are there out there? And how did you detect these different types?
Yeah, well, soul contract is an agreement between two beings, in this case, the animal and the person, to expand their growth in this lifetime. So our souls agree upon lessons for our growth to work on together for our mutual healing and development. And I've identified over the thousands of sessions I've done over the last two decades, I've identified and documented seven different types of conceptual approaches that animals and humans use to engage in intentional soul communication for their mutual growth. So held within each level of the seven levels are distinctive ways where you are helping each other to live out your specific soul agreement that you've pre-planned. It's really incredible. It's like knowing anything that happens to your animal that you perceive in a negative way, a negative behavior, or a negative physical issue, know that those are experiences you probably, both of your souls, planned in advance to be able to obtain the gift of those experiences.
Can our animal companions reincarnate with us, and can we manifest them in some way to come back to us?
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if you read the stories about Bodhi and Rumi, my current cats that I have. And I was completely surprised when I recognized their souls as being one of them. This is the third time with me. And I did not, even though I believed in it before, because I've done so many sessions over the last few decades, this was the first time I've personally experienced it. So I've definitely identified in my practice that we have certain animal souls that we partner with. Kind of like part of our soul group. We have two-legged beings that will incarnate with us for our growth time and time again that we all partner with. We call it our soul group. But we have animals that are also part of our soul group that kind of sign up. We know that that's how we recognize each other when we see them. You know, you feel like, oh my gosh, I feel like I've always known them, or I looked at them and we were magnetized toward a particular animal because our souls are recognizing each other.
Well, I remember in the book that you talked about the sign you asked for, like to the slow blink of the eye of your cat. You actually sat in a room full of cats, and that's how your cat came to you, that you had asked specifically for a sign, and the sign was given.
Absolutely. And I've done that each time. I wait to be chosen. I wait for it to be obvious because I'm getting nervous about making it, you know, like I want to make sure that I find the right one. And so I just say, I got to give this over to higher power, and I'll ask them for specific signs and for them to choose me and to make it obvious. And boy, has always been obvious.
Well, and you talk about getting to the higher person purpose of your animal relationships. Why is this so important?
It's weird. You asked that question and I got this little teared up almost. When we can get to the higher purpose of our relationships with our animals, it has the power to bring us the greatest level of insight into why we're experiencing this together, into the deeper level of healing that we signed up to experience together, and to bring peace. You know, sometimes we look at situations like, why would this happen to them? Why would it happen to me? And when you can get to the higher purpose and perspective for, oh my gosh, our soul chose to have this experience so that I would be able to heal the grief, or so that I would be able to feel peace or know the unconditional love, or whatever the gift of the experience. It's different, obviously, within each pairing. But especially in situations where there is a behavioral issue, you know, that is unpleasant or whatever, you can get to that higher perspective and say, oh, I get it now. They're telling me this. They're telling me I'm being, you know, cray-cray. And then as soon as you get the message, then that behavior that they were exhibiting just stops on a dime. It's amazing. So getting to that higher perspective versus kind of getting down in the 3D stuff of it can bring you more peace, and it will be a game changer in your life.
Now, how do we enhance our animal relations by learning about our soul contracts?
I guess I just touched on that a bit. When one recognizes that your animals at a soul level are active partners in your evolution, you can then be proactive in sharing the higher purpose of your journey together. It's kind of like a cheat sheet, that we're able to get to that point and be able to see it while we're still in a body, to see that there is a higher perspective and a soul plan that can help us reach a better feeling place about whatever things are showing up for our relationships. So think of it like a cheat sheet for two co-creators with a plan.
Do our animal companions have spirit guides?
Yes. You know, when I first started working with animals, because animals wasn't on the radar for me to work with, my plan was to work with people. My 4-year certification was to work with two-legged. And I just wondered if this worked with animals as well. So when I first began working with animals, I would see into other dimensions. You know, sometimes there'd be the fairy realm or other animals that were there that they probably have lived with or a part of their soul group, and other humans as well. So absolutely, they've got a light team, as I call them, just like we do, that are supporting and guiding them and helping them stay on their soul's plan and their soul's journey. It's amazing.
Well, and I know that you started with the human side of it, and then you got into the animal-human tandem healings. And What was it that prompted you to develop this and go into this? And could you, there were such great studies in here. I mean, it's a very heartwarming and very inspirational book. Can you share one of the tandem healing case stories with us?
I can, yeah. So the animal healing tandem healings are really, they were created because when I first began working with animals, and the way that I see energy, I can see the defense patterns and the energy fields around specific emotional wounds. And so I thought it was interesting that I'd be working on an animal and I would see that they had an unhealed wound of abandonment. And then if I would kind of pan to their person or tune into their person, I would notice that their person had the exact same emotional wound that was up. And this mirroring thing happened within every single animal client that I had. And I thought, geez, if the person was on board with healing their abandonment, it would surely stick longer, because sometimes I would work on the animal instantaneously or after one or two sessions, and then sometimes it would come back. But if the person was working on their mirrored wound, then it would be diffused forever. And so I thought, I wonder if I connected them both at the same time, if the person's on board, how it would be effective. So I set up several hundred case studies for people that wanted to, that volunteered to engage in this type of healing, where I could connect to both the animal and the person simultaneously, and they would work on their mirroring emotional wounds. And it was just fascinating to me. And that's what, you know, you're talking about with the case study stories in the book. One of them, I'll share, Rick and Sammy. I don't know if you remember that one, but Rick was, he lives out on a particular piece of land, and he tends to, you know, the fencing and the property and everything, and there's one big house, and the owners live there, and he gets the room. One day went out to outside, and there was a dog, and he thought it was the neighbor's dog, and it wasn't, and as it turned out, it was a stray, and he went to find out, you know, it wasn't Chip, put flyers everywhere, and Sammy, he got a name pretty quickly, kind of stuck around. Well, Sammy started, you know, exhibiting extreme separation anxiety, Rick couldn't go anywhere without him, and he would cry, and it was just awful. And anyone who's had an animal that exhibited separation anxiety, it's not pleasant. And so when he signed up for this, he said, I want you to heal Sammy, you know. And pretty quickly I said, well, it's kind of interesting. Have you ever had any codependent relationships in your past? And then the light bulb went off, and he said, well, every love relationship I've ever had has been codependent. And he got that they were mirroring this abandonment wound. And once that happened, once the aha happened for him, and he said, I'm all in. And then he started working on his unhealed and unresolved abandonment wound. And by, gosh, maybe the second or third session in, Sammy, it was, he no longer had it. I mean, it was just gone. And those things just fascinate me, that when the person says, okay, I can look at myself, when we can heal ourselves, our animals are going to reap the benefits of that. When we can heal together, then it's just a beautiful bliss-filled healing session that miracles can happen in. And so I now do them frequently, as you can imagine, for the people that are more open for that. Because a lot of times, of course, people are fix my animal and not ready to look at themselves. And that's okay. It's all divine and perfect timing. But when they are ready and they want to look at those emotional wounds, then it can go much faster when you heal them together.
One of the things that fascinated me, I mean, the book was amazing, and I connected with so many parts of it, but was that we are like attracted to certain breeds, or we're attracted to certain things, you know, or certain animals. And it seems like, you know, like I'm a hound person. I have between greyhounds and two Italian greyhounds. I have them in every single size, but I've done it for 25 years. And I have a, you know, a relative who's into the herding dogs. And so it's like everybody's into their own thing. And you kind of explain why we may be doing that. And also when we connect, whether it be these emotional wound agreements, whether it's grief, loss, abandonment, separation, codependency, whatever it is, there's like a reason. And what your book gives is kind of a reason why we connect and why we can heal together. And especially with your help, with your tandem healings. Could you please tell the listeners where they can go to learn more about you, learn more about the amazing work that you do, and also where they can get Animal Soul Contracts, your newest book?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. My website has almost all information. That's TammyBillups.com, TammyBillups.com. And that actually has everything for the tandem healings on there, as well as down to my mentorship program for animal practitioners and any events and book signings as well. But it will be available. The book launches formally on Amazon. All books are shipped on 4/7, but it's available on my publisher site, innertraditions.com, up until 4/7. And then it goes, you know, to the world after that. There are many online classes that I do about this topic as well. So they'll be able to find me. Thank you.
Well, Tammy, I want to thank you for being our guest today and for all that you're doing for pets and pet parents everywhere. You know, especially in these turbulent times when so many people are kind of like lost and, you know, we're all kind of uncertain. And yet the amount of dogs that are being fostered and adopted in these programs, and I believe that they're coming into their forever families for a reason. And reading your book, it kind of made sense as to why maybe some of this is all happening. And out of a tragedy comes a blessing for these homeless animals and their human companions. You know, we're not only saving lives by bringing these animals into our life, but we're changing our human lives forever by doing this. So I thank you. You so beautifully and eloquently explained so much about this in your book. And it's odd that we're living in this time right now where all of this is happening and we're close for reasons that are beyond us with these beautiful animals that we share our lives with. So I thank you so much. And again, Tammy's book is Animal Soul Contracts, Sacred Agreements for Shared Evolution. So thank you so much, Tammy, for being our guest. And thank you for all the work that you're doing with pet parents such as myself and these amazing animals.
Thank you so much for having me.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.